in a dependence upon the Lord for all needed help. We ask your very prayerful attention to the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is God, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the Lord is God, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. This short little prophecy indeed is very solemn in many, many respects. And why, and it shows us and tells us how that the Lord, yes, is full of divine vengeance and furious against sin and wickedness. And let us remember this, that he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sin ever has been abhorrent unto God, and sin ever will be abhorrent unto God. But dear soul, if you and I have been the subjects of the work of his grace, sin will be abhorrent to you as well. Sin will be abhorrent to you as well. You'll know what dear Paul writes there in Romans. Who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? Well, he speaks about the good that I would I do not, and the evil which I would not that I do. And who shall deliver me? Well, we should know something of this work of God's grace in our heart. And I say we shall also detest sin. We shall flee from sin as we would flee from a serpent. Yes, if I may speak, I speak for myself, and I'd probably speak for others. There was a day when we could roll sin as a sweet morsel under our lips and say it is nothing. That was because we were dead in trespasses and sins. But, oh, what a blessed but. Oh, I hope there's been a change. A change in my heart. I hope there's been a change in your heart. Whereby then sin now is exceeding sinful. Dear soul, do you ever look back and think of some of your life in the past, and oh, and how you blush with shame, you hang your head in shame, and why, and the very thoughts now fill you and fill your heart with horror to think that you could ever done such things. Well, this is just a little of God, yes, he abhors sin. But in the centre then of this first chapter here, there's a blessed jewel. And this jewel is this, that the Lord is God. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You and I, sadly, we live in a very, very wicked world. And it gets more wicked every day. We wonder what we shall hear next. Oh, but the God's word declares this, doesn't it? that evil men wax worse and worse, and so we prove it. But what a mercy if, dear soul, you and I are found in this text. Yes, that thee knoweth them that trust in him. He knoweth them. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I hadn't thought of speaking like this, but it comes to mind. The Lord knoweth them. And the foundation of God. Why, here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, you've got where the two of John's disciples followed Jesus and how they dwelt with him. And then you read on like this, and the day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and findeth Philip, said to him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of his Nazareth? Philip saith, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Yes, the foundation of God stands sure. And he knoweth them that trust in him. What a mercy, dear soul, if you and I are known. I was talking with a friend some while ago now, but we were talking about this case of Nathanael, and a conversation went something like this, that here was Nathanael, is under this fig tree. And apparently the fig tree is a bit like our willow trees. All the branches drop right down to the ground. But the leaves are much bigger than the willow trees. On why one could be under a fig tree and not be seen. But he knoweth. Nathanael may have been under the fig tree. What is he doing under the fig tree? What was you singing at him in a moment ago? Yes. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Is that how you came to chapel this afternoon? Yes. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. To use another hymn, 737. Gracious Lord, incline thine ear, and my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never ceasing cry, and give me Christ, or else I die. Yes, and perhaps to your soul, you have to say with that dear hymn writer, all unholy and unclean, I am nothing else but sin. On thy mercy I rely. Give me Christ, or else I die. Yes. But yes, but he came to seek and save the lost. And he doesn't, and he hasn't, and he will not change his mind. And he knoweth them that trust in him, and he knoweth them. See, there was one, Nathanael. Why, and again here in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Why, what does the dear Lord say to us here? my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I know them. And again, hear this all in John 17. Oh, yes. What a mercy it is all if you and I are found here beneath the intercessory prayer of the dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. When he prays here, he's praying to his Father, but oh, he's interceding for poor sinners. Oh, for them that he's loved and does love with an everlasting love. I pray for them. You see, them, they're not named out individually. But, oh, dear soul, that you and I might be included in that great multitude. Them. I pray for them. Yes, yes, the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knoweth them. Yes, that are his. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Yes. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Find that lovely verse 24. Father, I will that they also that has given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for their love is in me before the foundation of the world. Well, why we've started at the end of this verse, I'm not sure. And he knoweth them that trust in him. What a mercy to have a blessed trust in the Lord. Yes, why the psalmist speaks, doesn't he? Oh, at them, yes, at some trust in princes. Yes. But a God's people trust in the Lord. Yes, oh, and what a mercy, dear soul, if you and I have this blessed trust, committing all into his hand. When I say all, yeah, the things of this life, but your poor never dying soul and mine. And then the trust in him. You might say to me, but I don't know whether I've got any religion at all. Well, I can walk with you in that, poor soul. But you don't know whether you've got any religion at all. So if you haven't got any religion, you don't think. Notice what I'm saying. You don't think you've got any faith. You say, no, I haven't got any faith. So let me ask you this question. Do you ever pray? Do you ever pray? Do you try to pray? Or you say, yeah, I can begin to come in there. I do try and pray. I wonder what your prayer sounds like when you try to pray. Is it like this? Here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies, and past offences pay mine eyes. Or is it that well-known prayer, the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner? I thought you said you hadn't got any faith. That's what you said, wasn't it? You hadn't got any faith. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you hadn't got any faith, dear soul, you wouldn't approach him. You wouldn't try and pray, to use your own words. You wouldn't even try to pray. But because you believe that he is, that he exists, and that he does hear and answer prayer, you go to him in prayer and supplication. Yes, those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. Pray thou canst or canst not pray, but pray with faith in Jesus' name. Dear soul, go on. Press on. Press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Again, the time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me. Tarry's leisure then, wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power. Yes. And he knoweth them that trust in him. And he knoweth them. Yes, dear soul, he knows. He sees. The children of Israel, why they were in deep bondage, were they not? There in Egypt. Oh, what a sad state they were in. But, you know, you read this here in the second chapter of Exodus. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children, and God had respect unto them. And he knoweth them that trust in him. And the Lord calls Moses here at the backside of the desert. And he calls him and he speaks to him and he says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And to bring them out of that land into a good land and large. Yes. Dear soul, he has seen, he knows, and he's heard. Yes. And he knows them that trust in him. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Dear soul, are you putting your trust in the Lord? Dear soul, there is nowhere else for us to go. If there was another way to heaven, dear soul, man would have found it out by now. But there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And, yes, and he knoweth them that trust him. Well, again, why I've started the end, I don't know. It's not my usual practice. But let's come back then to the beginning of the verse. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. The Lord is good. And can anyone in this chapel this afternoon deny that? Can anyone in this chapel deny that, that the Lord is good? Oh, his long suffering, his mercy endures forever. And he makes his goodness pass before us in the way. I may have told you this before, but, you know, the Lord is good, his mercy. Do you say, are you saying that the Lord has never shown you any mercy? Well, I was once like that. Yes, I didn't think, I could not see that the Lord had shown me any mercy whatsoever. But one Wednesday night, it was probably in 1960, when I was in the Air Force. I went into Pondside Road Chapel, West London, and there was the dear old servant, Mr. Windridge. I don't know what his text was, but he started off like this. Is there a sinner here tonight that says, the Lord has never shown me any mercy? And I could have cried out aloud, yes, me. And he said, isn't it a mercy that you're in the house of God tonight and not in a deserved hell where your sins so richly deserve? Ah, that breaks you down, you know. It makes you see things in a different light. Yes, and it makes us say this afternoon, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is not clean gone forever. Blessed be his glorious name. Yes, the Lord is good in this respect. It's in Psalm 25. The Lord is good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Good and upright is the Lord. Yes, dear soul, the Lord is good. You say, but I wish I could understand this a little more. Yes, dear soul, and by you will understand it a little more. As the Lord leads you and teaches you deeper of yourself and of what he is and who he is, you'll see that the Lord is God. See, why, Romans chapter 2. Yes. It's the goodness of the Lord that leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. David has sinned. But dear soul, can we not see the goodness of the Lord leading David to repentance? Oh, David didn't like being convinced and convicted of his sin and his iniquity. But as I've said before, why Nathan spoke to him, yes, thou art the man. And David fell under. He fell under the word of God. He didn't fall out with the word of God. Sinner, what do you do? Do you fall under the preaching of the word of God, or do you fall out with the word of God? What a difference. Yes. What a difference. What do you read here about a difference? Here in Exodus chapter 11, you may know how that the Lord put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. You may know how that the Lord has put a difference. David had this difference. He fell under, convicted of his sin. And yes, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And he taught poor David what he was. Is there some of you here this afternoon that the Lord's teaching what you are? Learning a little more of yourself. You didn't realise there was such sin and iniquity in your heart. Oh, poor David. He committed adultery and murder, didn't he? But you know, dear soul, why, the Lord says this to us, doesn't he? He that looketh upon a woman to lust hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Oh, and where are we, dear soul? Do you have to put up your hand with me this afternoon and say, guilty, guilty, guilty? Lord is God. Oh, therefore he teach sinners in the way. Oh, and it leads to repentance. Yes, it is our to repent, to be truly, truly sorry for all our sin. Not like the poor Romanists, why they can go and sin and they can go and see the priest and they can put a pound in the box and the confession box and they can confess it before the priest, and they can go out and do the same thing again and come back the next week and do the same thing again. But that's not how God teaches. And that's not the teaching of God. We shall forsake sin, shall we not? We shall forsake sin. We turn from sin. We would turn from sin as we would flee from a serpent. And we plead. Yes, you know, I've often said the publican's prayer was short, but his confession was shorter still. His prayer was, God, be merciful to me. His confession was a sinner. The Lord is good, stronghold. Yet it is how he leads repentance. And then it is how he draws us to himself. And by, there will be that which you were singing of in that second hymn, a revelation of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ to your poor, never-dying soul. Yes, the Lord is God. As he reveals Christ, the Saviour of sinners, to your poor, never-dying soul. Yes, and the Lord uses whom he will. He doesn't have to use anybody, but in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, he does. Why, we've mentioned already this afternoon, now the name's gone again, there in John chapter 2. Why, that dear man, you see, he was led to Christ by Philip, was he not? Oh, and again there in John chapter 12, there were those certain Greeks, and they came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Oh, that this chapel were full of such souls here this afternoon that came saying, "What, sir, we would see Jesus." In one pulpit that I stand in occasionally, here on the inside of the pulpit where the congregation doesn't see it, but there carved in the woodwork is, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Oh, what a humble reminder for us, for those that stand in that pulpit to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. But dear soul, yes, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. He has said, "Come, whosoever will, and let him take of the water of life freely." We've just quoted there from Genesis, Revelation chapter 22, have we not? Almost the last verse. "The Spirit of the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." The Lord is God. Oh, yes, yes, oh, He's good in this, that He came to seek and to save sinners. Blessed be His glorious name. He doesn't, hasn't, and will not change His mind. Yes. Oh, the very, very worst of sinners. The very worst of sinners. Why, there's a dying thief on the cross at Calvary. The Lord is God. Yes, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. And here's this poor man, dying on the cross at Calvary, all because of his sin and his iniquity. And he says, "And we indeed justly, for we suffer the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And then, dear soul, oh, that it may be like you and I, we may turn to the Lord, we may look unto Him. "Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." Dear soul, and the answer is, "This day shalt Thou be with me in paradise." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Yes, the Lord is God. He snatches souls from the burning. There was a dying thief about to enter into eternity, but He came, He pleaded with him to be remembered in mercy. He prayed, "Lord." Yes, oh, what this all was in his heart, in his prayer there. No tongue can tell, but the Lord knew. Oh, and the Lord knew it was genuine. And the Lord knew there was godly sorrow and repentance in his heart. We indeed justly. Yes. And so it is, oh, the Lord saved him by his grace. And say, "My soul, why not for thee?" Why? Because Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord is God. But again, yes, oh, and when we think of our dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God's dear beloved Son, oh, yes, and what did Jesus Himself say in John 3? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there it is, dear soul, no name, no rank, no station, whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth, and the soul that believes goes to the Lord in prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And there's all. Yes, and Jesus laid by his glory. And he came to this earth. Yes. Ah, yes, laid in a manger, but with grown as a man. A man, there is a real man with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. 'Tis no wild fancy of our brains, no metaphor we speak. The same dear man in heaven now reigns that suffered for our sake. The Lord is God. And dear soul, you say, and why? What does Isaiah tell us? Oh, something here, the Lord's goodness to us here in Isaiah 53. Why, yes, first of all, there's this. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we'd esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord is good. Oh, a thought just comes to mind. You know, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which generally as a denomination we celebrate the first Lord's Day. Why, and how many times have you and I heard God's servants read those few verses there in Corinthians? Ah, yes, oh dear soul, you go there and you see how the Lord is God. And why, and what is it the servant of God says to us there? Ah, for I have received the Lord. That which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take heed, listen, this is my broken body, which is broken for you. Is all, do you need any more explanation that the Lord is good? This is my broken body, which is broken for you. I don't think I shall ever forget administering the ordinance once at a chapel a good many miles from here. Oh, feeling myself so dark, so far off. But those words broke my heart. And I don't want to forget them. Because, you see, the Lord was God. And dear soul, and why, and there was hope for my poor never dying soul. And dear soul, and there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Let me say again, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Yes, the Lord is God. But back here again, Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And then there's this lovely verse. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Yes, the Lord is good. Some dear ladies here have travailed, brought forth children in this world. You know what anguish there is. But our dear Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't just one or twins that he was bringing forth. It was the whole election of grace. and dear soul, and why, yes, he went forward. He left his disciples, even the three favoured, Peter, James and John. He went a little further, a stone's cast. He falls on the ground. Ah, the Lord is good. Ah, the labour, the travail. Right, what does he say? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he continues, dear soul. Oh, and he says this, nevertheless. The Lord is God. Dear soul, there's not, I don't feel there's a greater word in the whole of the scriptures of truth than that one word that Jesus uttered there in Gethsemane's garden. Yes, down there on the ground. Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood fall to the ground. The labour and travail of his soul. Yes, you know, dear soul, it comes to me like this. You read there at the end of Psalm number 40, and it reads there that, but I am poor and needy. You can come in there, can't we, dear soul? I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. When he was there in Gethsemane's garden, sweating great drops of blood falling to the ground, when he says, nevertheless, dear soul, I believe this, he saw his church. He saw all them that were given unto him in the covenant of eternity. Ah, why me? Why me? Oh, blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must revel in hell, were not salvation free? Yes. Amazing grace. The Lord is good. Ah, that is all that he suffered in the sinner's place, Roman stead. Why? Because he loved his people. Oh, he loves his people, great and small, and grasping hard, embraces all. And nor will the soul will part. He toils through life, pants through death, and cries with his expiring breath that it is finished and complete. Yes. Well, the hymn writer says this prior to that. A method strange his friend has shown of making love divinely known to rebels doomed to die. Unasked, he takes our humblest form, condescends to be a worm, to lift us up on high. Yes, oh dear soul, what a blessed Saviour, a glorious Redeemer, a blessed Jesus. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Ah, dear soul, yes, and you're saying it's sinners that flee unto him, that flee for refuge, as the dear apostle writes to us here in Hebrews chapter 6. He says this to us, doesn't he? Wherein God willing more abundantly show the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirm that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Dear soul, have you fled for refuge? Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Ah, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. Yes, well might we say, the language of good Augustus top lady, rock of ages, cleft in thee, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Yeah. Ah, that have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. My hope is built on nothing less save Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean upon his dear name. And dear soul, there is nowhere else for you and I to lean but upon him, who is the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000, him whom my soul loveth. Yes, this is blessed Jesus. Oh, that I could preach Christ to your poor never-dying souls. Ah, dear soul, if it was in my power, I'd give you Christ. But it's not in my power to give you Christ. But dear soul, it's there for the asking. Yes, ask. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it you. So, dear soul, go home. Pray that prayer again. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Amen.